Hey there, Mike.
Hello.
So, what's on your mind today? What you got going on in your head?
Still got a lot going on in my brain about trying to get this network up and running to its full capacity.
That would be 70 decibels.
70decibels.com, yes.
I suppose it might help if people actually delivered the things they were supposed to you on time, right?
Oh, well, I have, you know, the talent sometimes, Pat, can be an issue, but, you know, they're what makes the network so great, so I just...
you kind of put up with their lacks and their idiosyncrasies, I imagine.
does not bother me.
All right, that's good.
Which is something, I mean, yeah, Patrick has alluded to the fact that he delivered the show notes late today. And this is something that's right. So iMessage has been around for a couple of weeks now, really, to the general public. And I've still not got a head on the etiquette with it. Now, Stephen Hackett, me and him have been using iMessage through all the betas, and I and he will message each other. Like, I will send him a message when I know it's 4 o'clock in the morning for him, because it doesn't bother me in regards to him, and he does the same for me. So he quite frequently will send me an iMessage at 4 o'clock in the morning. One, mainly because it is 4 o'clock in the morning and he knows that, you know, because that's just the way that we are with each other. So, what do you think? What are the etiquettes surrounding the inter? Because, like, for example, I was going to message you this morning about the fact that there was no show notes.
But you sent it via DM instead. So I want to mention that, right? Because here's the thing. Here's part of the reason why doing the show notes slipped my mind. Because usually you nag me about that via DM, via Twitter. This is before I had iMessage, before iOS 5, right? You would shoot me a DM. Well, I actually have my DMs delivered via email, so that, you know, it shoots me an email when I get a DM. And so usually, you know, despite everything that that Merlin Mann and other inbox gurus tell us not to do, I occasionally will use my inbox as a to-do list.
Right.
So you would send me a DM about, you know, hey, you know, can you get the show notes up? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. Yep. I'll do it. It'll happen tonight. And I would just leave that DM in my inbox. Right. And that DM would be kind of a constant little tickler, constant little reminder that, yes, I had to do show notes. And I wouldn't delete that message out of my inbox until I had done the show notes. You know, kind of check it off the list, as it were, by doing so. And I think that the fact that you reminded me via iMessage kind of messed up that flow in my brain that my brain had become used to, that kind of Pavlov-like, bell that triggered the salivary glands that caused me to write show notes. And so, yeah. Yeah, maybe, I guess what I'm getting at is maybe the best way to remind me about that stuff is DMs, and that will take the least amount of me having to change my flow.
Well, then I will continue to do that.
Yeah, so as far as, like, etiquette, you know, I guess what's interesting to me about iMessage is that iMessage seems more IM-like to me, more instant message-like to me, right? And, for several reasons, not the least of which is you can see when people are typing, and you got the read receipts and things like that that kind of give it that more IM sort of feel, when in fact it's not that far removed from SMS. Just those little details, I think, make a huge difference. I think because of that, it would be nice. Like, one thing I went looking for on my phone, I recently got, not sure if you've seen them. I actually featured them on Minimal Mac a few weeks back from Blue Lounge. It's this little wall adapter that uses the little plug, the little square plug USB thing that comes with the iPhone and the iPad to be able to plug it into the wall with the USB cable. Well, this is a little stand that plugs into that, and you can plug it into an outlet, and boom, now you have this little stand that charges your iPod, or I'm sorry, your iPod Touch or your iPhone or your iPad as well. really kind of neat. Really neat because in my bedroom, like a lot of the homes, big, large Victorian homes in this area, when this area was kind of down on its luck about 15, 20 years ago, many of these homes had been split into little kind of small one and two room apartments. And our home is no exception. And so therefore the room that is now our bedroom used to be a kitchen and still has a couple of outlets that are on either side of our bed that are up high at, like, you know, kind of slightly above the kitchen counter height. So we have these, like, you know, basically perfect spots for these little iPhone docks where we can kind of put our iPhones just kind of in these docks on either side of the bed up on the wall. And, you know, and they'll charge and sync and stuff like that. Now, the thing that I thought about was, well, what if someone does send me an iMessage or something like that at night? You know, I wish there was a setting in the iPhone to say, I want you to be completely silent, no vibration, no notification, no nothing between X time and X time.
Yeah, quiet times. Like, you can set up that in a lot of Twitter applications and stuff. Like, Tweetbot has quiet time, like to not be alerted. I think that.
Yeah, I wish that was global.
It's simply because I will assume that, you know, it seems like something that Apple could do, but they've just not had anybody with that issue yet.
Yeah, just,
you know, it's quite an edge case thing.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps. But I think, you know, as we're moving towards this idea of iCloud and this idea of Wi-Fi sync, I mean, see, for me, whereas before, you know, I would plug my phone in down by my iMac Media Center every night because that's where I synced my phone. And that's how I would, you know, I wasn't all, like, up in the cloud like you had already gone, and I wasn't using, like, Mobile Me or whatever. I was synchronizing that stuff, and I was waiting for something like the iTunes Wi-Fi sync to come along, and knew that it was going to eventually. And so just kind of never bothered to set that stuff up. But now that I have it, now, you know, it's like, well, all my phone really requires is power. Right, you know, and so
which is crazy.
Yeah, and I can plug it in anywhere, and it will sync and do what I need it to do. And so yeah, I don't know. I think you know more people are going to have this thing just plugged in on their nightstand or plugged in somewhere where they want to get rest. Don't want to be interrupted by, you know, or woken up and, you know, that sort of thing. So, I don't know. Hopefully they'll add that feature. But, I mean, yeah, it's really, it's really neat. I really like iMessage. You know, I would say now that you know that about me, Michael, you kind of know when, you know, you know, check your world clock and make sure that you still using that neat little app. I think I featured that on.
Yeah, I do. I have a pretty good handle of different times now, though. Like, kind of instinctively, I have a good idea of when, what time it is in certain people's countries. But like, not even like cities, not so much countries, because everybody's in America.
Yeah, and I would imagine that that's just from, you know, having to check it a few times. You now just kind of know. Like,
it's every day, mate.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I automatically, you know, in my head, can always know what time it is for you because I just know that it's plus six, right? So it's, as we record this, it's, you know, it's a little bit after three. Well, it's a little bit after nine for you, right?
Yep.
I just add six and you just subtract six, right? But if you were to ask me, say, what the time is in Paris right now, well, I don't really have any friends in Paris. And so I don't really, is it seven? Is it eight? Is it nine? I don't know. You know, but so I would, but if I had a friend in Paris, I bet you I could tell you exactly what the time is in Paris right now. Yeah,
exactly.
So
you asked me what's going on in my life, what's happening in your life, what have you been up to?
Oh man, jeez. Well, I got this book deadline, and that's stressing me out because I'm not making the progress I want to make. I need to make. I have to make.
Exact feeling.
But, you know, and every day I'm kind of thinking of something, something different. And working on kind of something different. Today, before I started recording, I pounded out 500 of the first, probably close to 1,000 words on sabbatical. And
which we've spoken about sabbaticals before.
Yeah, we were talking about sabbaticals before and the idea of a digital sabbatical and taking a break and why one may want to do so. And that's part of this. I'm kind of starting with, you know, the idea of a sabbatical being a very old one and one that that up until fairly recently was almost limited exclusively to academia, and the idea of a scholar taking time off for extended research or to write a book or to write a research paper, that sort of thing. And then I kind of move into the idea of digital sabbaticals and where that's coming from and the intentions behind it. Oh, I should go back. In between that, I also talk a little bit about Henry David Thoreau and, you know, his and Walden or Into the Woods, his venturing out into the woods to separate himself from society in order to get a more objective understanding of it, and that many people take digital sabbaticals for the same reasons, and that those reasons are quite valid, and that it is a good idea to take a break to get a better understanding, and these are all things I've talked about on the show before, and I'll refer you to those previous episodes. But I'm doing all of this to venture towards the idea that we've set up this idea of breaks that have to be this kind of big dramatic planned thing that we announce and we organize and set our intentions or let people know how to get in touch with those or whatever, but that how in this always connected age any kind of break can be beneficial and can be worthwhile. And so that's where my idea of micro sabbaticals come in. So for instance, Michael, when was the last time you left the house for an afternoon and just left your smartphone at home, your iPhone?
I wouldn't do it.
See, there you go.
I can't answer that question for you. Because I can't even take a 10-minute journey without having to listen to some podcast or something. Because I'm crazy like that.
Michael.
Please don't.
Dude.
I know.
Just how about this? Just as an experiment. Here's what I would like for you to do. Choose a time. I don't know. I don't care where it is. You know, but you know, something where you're going to be engaged doing something else. You know, maybe you're going to go see a show and out to drinks with Sammy or something like that. Right.
Mm.
Leave it at home.
I mean, I never. Well, I very rarely use my phone when we're together.
Okay. Perfect. Then you can leave it at home.
Yeah. But what if something somewhere and the only person that can plug the hole in the side of the water tanker is me? Then what happens?
You know what? You live in a country where 6-year-olds have phones. I've seen it. They ride the tube by themselves while texting on their iPhones.
I wouldn't go that far, but
it's crazy. Yes. You will not be the only one with the what ifs are just they don't happen, right? They do not happen. And they're called what ifs for a reason because they're things that are hypothetical. I urge you, I encourage you, and that's kind of the point of this essay that is going into the book, is that it doesn't have to be this big commitment, that you can start off small, and that maybe maybe by starting off small, maybe by saying, you know what, I'm going to leave the house today. I'm not going to take my smartphone. I'm going to enjoy this beautiful day. I'm going to, you know, I know I'm going to be talking, you know, going to meet a friend for coffee, and then I'm going to be going out to see a show. And then after that, I'm going to be going to meet some other friends for drinks. And I just want to be, I know I'm going to be engaged with all that. I won't be using my phone much anyway, if at all, or, you know, my smart device. So I'm just going to leave it. There's no, I have no need for it. And that by doing that and realizing that the what ifs didn't happen, that, you know, you didn't get that urgent message that, or even so, if you did, if, you know, oh my God, your boss calls and everything is exploding, I need to talk to you right away. Well, maybe you get home, you find that message, you go, oh my God, I'm never going to leave my house again. But then, you take a step back. You say, you know what? Is everything exploding? Really? Was it really that urgent? Or is it someone else's urgency? And, is this something that could have waited? And I would bet that even in those cases, it is probably something that wasn't that greatly affected by your not getting to it for a few hours. And that if that's the case, if you can do it for half a day, maybe you can do it for a full day. And if you can do it for a full day, maybe you can do it for a couple of days. And if you can do it for a couple of days, maybe, just maybe, you can regularly schedule time away. Because it's really difficult to have an objective understanding about what something is, how you use it, and what it means without taking a step back from it. So that's when I have had my head wrapped around virtually all day. Yes, while even installing Snow Leopard at a client who just, you know, had a machine donated to them by a parent. It's a school, just wanted it brought up to as close to the latest thing as possible. In this case, it's Snow Leopard.
You've also done something else today that I noticed since we record different times about it. But today, right. I saw that you've removed some of your websites.
Yeah.
Cutting it down, scaling it back.
Yeah, chopping them down, taking them
away.
Several reasons. Let me see if I can. If I can gel them all in a manner that is acceptable and doesn't take up too much of our listeners' valuable time.
So what have you got rid of?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Why? If a tree falls in the forest, is anybody here?
Yes.
If no one's around here? Guy in the forest. Yeah, Thoreau hears. Everybody else. But Henry David Thoreau, he heard that tree because he was in the forest.
Okay, so you got rid of some.
I got rid of some, yes.
Some small projects.
And am actively working on plans to reduce even further. So what's left? That's the easier question to answer. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because some of these sites were sites that not necessarily disappeared. I just removed my involvement with them. There were a couple of Tumblr sites that I was basically a co-administrator on that still remain and have people who actively, I was involved early on and for whatever reason just never took myself out of it. So there's that. Okay. And so those sites are still around, and I don't want to mention those because I want those to be those people's, right? But, you know, for instance, I had this little site that was like pretty pictures of paper that I cared about and maybe 8 other people cared about. Goodbye. Things like that. I had some other ones that people had never even heard of. and because I never advertised them, and I set them up, and I started to curate for them and write for them and do that sort of thing with the thought that, hey, let's see where this goes. Let's see where I can take this. So some of these were just experiments I got rid of. So what remains is Minimal Mac, Practical Opacity, The Random Post, all of those.com, right? And patrickroan.com. And, you know, there is my daughter's blog site, which I maintain and write, and that I don't really count because, you know, that one will always, you know, will probably be there for a very long time. I cannot get rid of it because grandpa and grandma read it, right? You know, and if they are the only audience, they want that. They want that. They check it daily. They check to see if, are there any new pictures of her? Let me go look, you know, and that's great. So I digress. Now the reason. I have a lot of niche interests. I have a very diverse set of interests, right? But there are certainly those things that really interest me and I'm insatiably curious about. Minimal Mac is a perfect example of that, right? I am insatiably curious about the idea of simplicity and minimalism as it relates to our ever complicated, maximalized technological world, right? Mm-hmm. Practical Opacity is another example of that. Same basic idea, but curated more around the idea or how it applies specifically. Whereas Minimal Mac has a focus of how it applies to computing, specifically the Macintosh. Practical Opacity explores how those apply to our digital communications, especially email, social networking, you know, SMS and the like, and now iMessage and such, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the Random Post, which is, that's the place where I put random things that don't seem to fit anywhere else. And that's kind of what started this, is because I was, I started to think, well, you know what? Of all this other stuff that I got going on, these could just as easily go in the Random Post. They don't need their own sites.
Because they're random posts.
Yeah,
because
they're random. The title alone gives me license to be able to post any old thing in thing there, anything that interests me. I've got a lot of things that interest me. And so I thought to myself, you know what? From now on, that's anything that fits into that that doesn't fit into Practical Opacity, Minimal Mac, or isn't a long-form kind of essay, kind of thought piece that I would put on patrickroan.com, that goes into the Random Post. So I'm trying to develop a strategy on one end, but I think ultimately there is a distinct possibility that eventually I will be down to the two, patrickroan.com and Minimal Mac, and that both the Random Post and Practical Opacity will merge into other places. So Random Post specifically will merge into patrickroan.com, and Practical Opacity, hard to say, because see, a lot of those themes intersect certainly with Minimal Mac, and I could potentially, I mean, it's my site, I can do whatever I want with it, I could potentially start deciding to explore those themes more and more on Minimal Mac, since I think it all is related. And
well, we discuss it all here, don't we?
Equally crucial. And, you know, and we discuss a lot of this here, true. But there's also the fact that, as you just may have surmised, many of the themes in the book I'm writing right now intersect heavily with practical the items I curate at Practical Opacity. And maybe the proper place for me to explore those ideas is within that context. So maybe if the book has a place on patrickrone.com or has a place on its own site, maybe Practical Opacity is a part of that place. Or I should say the ideas explored and curated are a part of that space and a part of that overall experience for the book. Yeah. That the book is not just this kind of static thing that you buy and is complete and is over, but that there is a continuing curation and dialogue going on at the place where the book lives. So I could easily see going either reducing to just Minimal Mac and patrickrone.com, or reducing to patrickrone.com, Minimal Mac, and whatever that book place becomes. Right?
The magical project.
Well, you know, I do have some ideas there.
Yes.
And
they'll become apparent.
Some things in play and some things I'm kind of actively building, but I don't want to go into it too much yet, especially because it's all subject to completely change at any time. And as you know, you can tell I get some crazy ideas in my head.
No.
And generally just decide to go with them. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I was, you know, as part of my research for what I was writing today, I've been, you know, reading a lot about Thoreau. And, you know, he was a loon. he was kind of crazy. But, you know, he was really curious and he experimented a lot. And, you know, I mean, that's something that I am certainly feel some sense of simpatico with. The idea that, you know, one should be willing to experiment and to try things out and to then come back and communicate the results with others in the hopes that not only, I mean, for me, it's not so much, you know, hey, here, look at me, here's what I did. It's me saying, hey, here's what happened with me. Someone else should go out and try this and come back and tell me what happened to them so that I can start to formulate some sort of, you know, some sort of ideas about what the truth is, right? I think that's what we all search for. So, yeah, so that's... That's what's going on with me, at least, you know, in the last past few hours.
There you go.
It changes.
Lots so of stuff. Lots yeah. of things bubbling. Yeah. So this is episode 80.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So as well, today, this is the episode in which we have surpassed the number of episodes that the Bro Show has amassed. The
really?
Bro Show will also, yeah, the Bro Show will also do 80 this week.
Interesting.
But then the day it comes out, I mean, the day after, there'll be 81, so it now surpasses.
Wow.
Which someone who's good at maths can tell me why that is at this point. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's like the exact halfway mark between the two being set up, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, because we do two shows.
Two a week.
We release two shows a week, and we... And the brochure releases one a week.
Hmm.
And generally, when you've taken, although it's, I think it's only been once that you've needed to, like you've gone on vacation or something like that, and there hasn't been a week or something like that, but I think it all happened at the same time. So yeah, maybe that is, so yeah, I guess for someone who's good at math, and I'm not either, that would mean that, we kind of...
There's some sort of point to that that I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but yeah, some sort of access.
See, we're going to be at 100 soon.
Ooh, we should do something special for 100. I don't know what that is. As my producer, you should figure that out.
I'll figure that out. Don't you worry about that. I've still got a few weeks left.
You know, maybe, you know, we could have some, you know, massive gathering of all the guests we've had.
Don't say things like that because then people will want it.
No, we won't do that.
We'll do something.
Yeah. You know, I really do want to do the whiskey episode for the holidays.
That is still in my brain, don't worry.
Okay, good. That sounds like so much fun. Can you imagine getting, you know, all those coffee characters together to talk about booze? That'd be excellent.
As it gets closer, I will arrange it.
All right. Thank you.
Do not worry.
Merry Christmas.
Anyway.
All right.
A pleasure as always.
It is. I enjoy these episodes. I enjoy these rambling ones. I think we cover a lot of ground. So, well, I guess we'll talk later, Mike.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.